It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies.
So the official numbers have been revealed.
Right, didn't have
no spot track doesn't even have it yet. But the reported money that Aziz Alshayer is getting in his extension is 3 years, $54 million. It's a big deal for one of the tone setters for your defense. And the Texans, great defense. They're vibesy defense, too. It's like, this is what the way we play. It gets people excited because we're hunters.
Swarm.
Yeah, that's the name certainly they've given themselves. The attitude they take into everything. Now, it's supposed to be an offense, defense, special teams thing, but I think I talked about it yesterday. The offense in the D'Amico Ryans tenure, even with the success of year one with CJ, doesn't exactly feel like, and maybe it's just about offense. It's not how offenses are supposed to be perceived, but they are not a swarm offense. The defense brings an energy to games that leads the charge. Maybe if the Texans were a more fast-paced offense or they could run the ball down your throat, we could ascribe swarm to them. It's just not how they are. We'll see what they look like in 2026. But Aziz gets 3 years, $54 million. If it's just, hey, $18 million per, he would be the third highest paid linebacker in football, coming in behind Fred Warner and Roquan Smith. So on its face, if you hear that, you go, is Aziz Alshayer the third best linebacker in football? Sometimes it matters how important you are to the team you're on. I don't know. Well, I'll say it. I will say it. No team besides the Texans is giving him 18 per year. Not based off of his age and what he'll be. And, you know, one Pro Bowl is cool. It's good for Aziz Alshayer to make a Pro Bowl. It is showing that his peers and the people who watched him play say that's one of the better linebackers in football. And he got a regular Pro Bowl invite, not an alternate invite, I believe, after other people
backed
out.
He got out of the mud.
Yeah. I mean, sure, it's just Pro Bowl games, but that's what it is
he
now.
He wore a bucket hat and played flex football.
Yeah, it's not like
still.
Yeah, but still, he was an initial invite. He was one of the guys at the top of the list, as opposed to someone who got there by default, I believe. But I don't believe his value, and it's partly because just the off-ball linebacker position is viewed this way. Like, you're talking Roquan and Fred Warner, all pros. Mm-hmm. Those are what we're talking about. And he's sliding in right between them and Zach Bond. And Zach Bond, at one point, was a guy who was kind of meandering through his NFL career. Is he an off-ball linebacker? Is he an edge player? And then he gets with Vic Fangio in Philly and becomes what he's become, and now they're paying him lots of money. It helps to have a guy who backed you when you were in San Francisco. D'Amico loved Alshayer. He played, what 1 year with the Tennessee Titans, and then the Texans made the move, and now he's the third highest paid linebacker in football, if I just go by the reported numbers. So it's a credit to him, and it let you know the Texans take care of their own if they like you, if they believe in you, even if you're not the third best linebacker in football. We'll pay you like it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because other than Danielle Hunter he's the only guy who's not like a Texans draft pick from the 2020s to get a deal, to get like a deal of any significance, I'll say. Like a pay raise off of his old deal. Like everyone else that they've paid, it's Petrie, Stingley, Anderson now. It's all guys who are coming off their rookie scale contract. So that does, to me, speak to like some, you know, intentionality of like, no, we think this guy is a real key piece of this defense that we got. We talked about leading up to the draft of if they go with an off-ball linebacker as a succession plan, because at that point, Aziz Alshayer and Henry Toto weren't on contracts past this season. Wade Woodaz is fourth or fifth round selection for the Texans, and obviously that's not a commitment of like, hey, we think in 1 year's time, this guy can be the guy at off-ball linebacker. So they make the move to keep Al-Shaair. I will say 3 years, $54 million. It's a little...
feels steep, doesn't
it? Yeah, but it could, like you said, it could be...
Yeah, we don't know how it
breaks void out. Year or whatever, yeah. Like where it's...
What's guaranteed, we don't really
even
know.
At whatever, 236, I'm like, okay, that's better. You know, like it's just the mental, like, man, that third year might be tough.
So he did not make one of the All-Pro teams. Those accomplishments went to Jack Campbell and Jordan Brooks, first team All-Pros, and then second team All-Pros at linebacker were Devin Lloyd out of Jacksonville and Ernest Jones out of Seattle. So Jack Campbell's on a rookie deal still. So
yes.
That's why he's not making.
He got his third year or fifth year option declined because he was going to make $22 million
yes.
based off where he was drafted.
Yeah, and that's too much.
No,
despite how good he was, so he didn't get that. Jordan Brooks is in line for an extension. The question is, if you're the Dolphins, are you giving big money after you've drafted a couple linebackers? He's a great player. Do they want to keep good players at this point, or they're still trying to get their books in order? So if you're Jordan Brooks, you're like, excuse me?
I mean, someone's paying Jordan Brooks.
Yeah, whether it's the Dolphins or someone else. Then you would talk about a trade to get something back before he leaves on his own. So if you are one of those off-ball linebackers, and Devin Lloyd, I think, he got a deal recently, so he's fine. He joined the Panthers. So he got a deal before Aziz did. And if you're Devin Lloyd, you're like, wait a minute. Maybe I should have held off. But free agency is free agency. You got to get the deal when you can. Yeah. So Aziz just came in as the next guy. Jordan Brooks is probably the next guy. And I imagine he's going to go, $18 million for this guy?
Yeah.
If it's got to be $500,000 more or a million more. So the Dolphins probably aren't thrilled, but that's how it goes. As Aziz, it's not setting the market, but average annual salary as reported, being paid like the third best linebacker in football. So congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it is for a guy like Aziz Al-Shaair to, like, this is a pretty big come up because he was on those 49ers teams, but
he was not starting for
them. Yeah, he was behind even like Drake Greenlaw.
It was Greenlaw and Warner who were the top two guys, yeah.
And then 1 year in Tennessee, and then he comes here and pivotal piece to a team that's been one of the best defenses in the league since he's gotten here, including last year, where they were, them and the Seahawks basically all year were thought of as it was like kind of them two and then the Broncos and then everyone else. So, yeah, I mean, he is the type of guy you want to keep around. It's just the price is what gives me pause, especially how it came out. It was like, oh, he got a new deal, 3 year deal. I was like, okay, 3 years is, I prefer two, but it's the NFL. That last year's probably fake. And just like no money came out. I was like, all right. And then $54 million, he's like, okay.
You take a little beat and go, okay, let's see what's real and what isn't.
Yeah. But the overall, like, keeping him, pro.
Yes. You want him around as the guy on the second level of your defense. And if it's Wade Woodaz playing next to him at some point in 2020, likely 2027, we will see. But they like their guys. And if you're one of their guys, they'll get you paid, which leads – the obvious question. You like him quite a bit. You certainly proved you like Will Anderson. Danielle Hunter, you stay liking. Every offseason, you prove your love for Danielle Hunter. Is Danielle Hunter one of those guys who needs to be love bombed? He's like, hey, I would just like to be shown that you love me. And how you do that, my love language is $40 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like receiving gifts is one of them.
That's his love language, receiving it. Honestly, what a bunch of crap. Your love language is being given gifts?
I know. All right.
Stop it.
Because I think there is like a this is actually like – it's been co-opted as just like my love language is whatever, going to, see Knicks games next to Tracy Morgan or whatever. That seems to be Timothy Chalamet's love language. But like there actually is like a book where it's like the seven things that are or five things
yeah,
that
the
are
five like, love languages. I know this book exists because I used to work at a Barnes & Noble. The five love languages, how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate. It is words of affirmation.
Okay, that's like a fine one.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Acts of service, that means you're a giver. You're the one doing things.
Yeah.
Quality time. You want to spend time with the person you love.
Right.
physical touch. People like to be intimate. Understood. And the last, and certainly least for me, receiving gifts.
Yeah, just, I want to get paid.
I want people to give me stuff. That's how I know you love me.
I would like worldly possessions, please.
Yes. You want to know how I know some things are just bullcrap? The fact that that got slid in. Who? Credit to whoever
the
gets that off.
The worst person you know, like, yeah, is like receiving gifts. That's my thing.
Honestly, I have been in a conversation. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about me giving in a relationship with someone who was looking to, and was talking about their love languages. But I asked someone, "Hey, it wasn't even in that regard. It was like, what do you like?" Or maybe it was about love language. I don't remember. But you know, quality time, or even physical touch. This woman said receiving gifts. Like, oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
I kind of feel like if you're the I don't want to get into this author's head. I don't even know who this author is. I'm only familiar with the concept. I feel like you slide that one in to be like the red flag. Like that is to
Gary Chapman.
Gary Chapman. That is to the Gary Chapman extended universe as being in House Slytherin is to Hogwarts,
oh.
Where it's just like
you don't have to be a bad person to be,
but it's a red flag.
Yeah, but oh, you're in, like, it, and how it's being portrayed from the Gryffindor perspective?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a piece of crap.
Yeah, okay.
Like the people we meet, from Slytherin are bad people. That doesn't mean everyone in Slytherin is bad. So I get what you're as we all become Albert Shingoon right now with his love for Harry Potter.
By the way,
did you address that on your show?
No. I will say, poorly timed puff piece.
Now you win game five, so it's
better.
It hits a little softer, but coming off of a game four, which you did win, but you're down 3-1 in the series. And of course that story is being written and developed before then.
Yeah, and it's for a national audience, not a local audience where like if you watch a Space City Home Network game, like
he
they
dressed
bring up
for Harry Potter on Halloween one time. But we digress from that to back to the point of Danielle Hunter, his love language being gifts and gifts in the range of $40 million per year. So beyond the point of calling out the nonsense that, hey, you show me you love me and I gravitate toward being given things. Cool. Yeah, I would agree. While it doesn't mean you're a bad person.
It's a red flag.
It's a red flag. I got to investigate more.
That one is clearly a red flag.
It prompts me to want to investigate if your love language is receiving gifts.
Yeah. How convenient.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. The way to get to your heart is to give you things. Cool.
Wow. Great.
Awesome. That's something I want to be involved with. All right. Let's get to – we'll wait for Eric because it may take an entire segment. We'll go to break. If you want to follow Eric, the number is 713.
Tell us what your love language is.
And if it's receiving gifts, trust us. We got our eye on you. We got, and as anyone in your life should as well. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
We'll likely talk about this more tomorrow with Michael Carroll. But no idea is fresh and new. But I'm excited about this one. Man on Fire, the series, is now out on Netflix. If you remember, it was the Denzel Washington movie with Dakota Fanning. I gotta be specific because Fanning, is in a show on Apple TV right now where she is an OnlyFans model. But
she's got money problems, man.
She does. Yeah. What's her?
Margo.
Margo Has Money Problems is the name of the show, and it goes through. It's a lot of prosthetic. We talked about it, prosthetic breast. I went through it. Like, I'm not Zapruder-ing. I'm saying what I mean by going through it. We talked about this as opposed to investigating it thoroughly, is that the first episode, I believe, is maybe the one and only time you actually see her, if you want to say, without prosthetics on, because it was when she's not either pregnant or now having a kid. And, of course, we know how biology works. when you are feeding a child and you're a mother. You know how that works. I don't have to really get into it, I hope. So, if you like a funny show with an OnlyFans theme and also Ron Swanson in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Nick Offerman is plays the dad.
Oh, yeah. He plays like a wrestler.
He plays her wrestling father. Michelle Pfeiffer plays her mother. So they got a big-time cast.
Great cast.
I watched the first couple episodes. It's pretty fun. We'll see how it goes the rest of the way. But Man on Fire with Yahya Abdul-Mateen. You know him from Wonder Man, maybe. Certainly Aquaman.
Yeah.
He also played Mr. Manhattan in Watchmen. So he's been in the IP game, and now he's back in it. I don't know who's playing the Dakota Fanning role.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
While she was somewhat unknown, but not really, we kind of knew who she was.
Because she was in War of the Worlds.
Yeah, we knew her back then. This actress is playing, she's not playing like a little kid. I think she's playing either a teenager or maybe someone in her early 20s. So it is a little different, but it is a series instead of a movie. So we'll get more. We'll see how prestige it is by watching it. But there it is. I'm going to watch Man on Fire. Not tonight. Got something to do. I realized it had something to do. I was like, dang. I was going to put in some work. Three episodes of Man on Fire. Instead, I'm going to be around Boots tonight.
Glad handing.
Hey, showing your face, saying hello to people, saying, hey, glad that you're here. I will not be infused with Coors Lights, unlike John. He's got a doubleheader of Astros baseball. Coors Lights will be a part of the deal, and then he'll be showing up at a party. We'll see how that goes for everyone. If it goes anything like the golf tournament, good luck to all involved. He is going to be the definition of on one tonight.
I think he's a belligerent.
Well, that's part of his on one persona. I just didn't want to say that. I certainly have used the word drunkard and belligerent before. I allowed you to fill in that time. Let's get to Eric, who don't know that he's a drunk, but he does, in some ways, he is belligerent when it comes to One Ime Adoko. What's he got today? What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Great show. Yeah. Would you and Sean consider this KD trade a win if they beat the Lakers, but don't go any further? And also, Dakota Fanning was in the historically accurate movie The Patriot, which was really historically accurate. Also, her rumblings that Katie was there in L.A., not to support his team, but, you know, talking to a few female social influencers. And, Bill, you do really need to watch that movie, Toxic Avenger, with Peter Dinklage. They should have won the Academy Award for the best movie ever made. I'll hang up and listen.
So, belligerent, aggressive, hostile, or warlike attitude and demeanor, characterized by a readiness to fight or quarrel. It manifests through bullying, picking fights, and intense anger. While maybe Eric's not aggressive, you can hear the tone. Doesn't sound very aggressive, but he's willing to pick a fight when it comes to Kevin Durant and that trade. I don't know where the streak is, because on Fridays he doesn't bring it up because it's a Michael Carroll segment that he calls in for. But non-Michael Carroll calls. What are we at now as far as this trade is concerned that he still takes issue with? Are we DiMaggio level? Is it the Rockets' 22-game winning streak from way back when? Where are we when it comes to him?
27 missed threes.
Yeah, is it that? Is it over 27 as far as the streaks? As far as giant streaks in Houston history, Eric's belligerence towards certainly disdain towards the Kevin Durant trade is reaching those heights. I don't know that Shams has had an opinion on the trade. I've certainly talked about it. If they win without KD, it's not a first of all, sure, the KD trade in the playoffs can be looked at as a miss. But I've said it before, and you're suckering me into this again. You watch what Jalen and Dylan less so. You watch what Jalen was on against the Thunder. They're out in four, which was expected. The Suns actually had a surprisingly good year for what people thought of them. But you saw Jalen in the playoffs. Well, we got a full seven games of that last year, so cut it out. And the KD trade is not just a one-year deal. Even if you look at the big trades that work, and you have to go back a while because superstar trades don't really work anymore, but the ones that even worked in the past or acquisitions, they don't usually work in 1 year because you tweak what are your shortcomings and try to fix it the next year. The big three. Now, it was thanks to LeBron being afraid of J.J. Barea. Didn't win it. Give the credit. give credit to the Celtics. They won it in their first year. But for the most part, you trade for a superstar, throw Anthony Davis in the mix. Did they win in their first year? Was it COVID their first year together?
Yes, they won in year one.
So COVID certainly changed things for them, and they were able to win a title. So there are some examples of it working out.
They also had a three-month break between the end of the season and win the playoffs.
Will they have been able to win a title if they had to play straight through? I'm going to doubt it, but you got three months to coalesce, and then you also have the extreme circumstances of a COVID bubble. It helped the Lakers win a title. So this wasn't a one-year plan. They wanted to elevate themselves in the contender status in year one with mixed results, certainly in year one. But this was about the second year and the third year as well. I mean, maybe you punt on year one just because of what has happened as KD has gotten hurt.
Yeah, he also was your best player and going to be second, maybe third team All-NBA this year, and he played 78 games in the regular season, and if he hadn't, you probably aren't the 5 seed, especially because how pilot actually you're probably like the 6 or 7 seed. So, you know, it does make a difference.
So it's cool, Eric. You don't like it. I get it. And I'm not watching Toxic Avenger for a while now, just to spite you. Let me address you on this one more time. Every time you say watch it, at 2 weeks to my time before I watch it. So if you want me to watch it, stop talking about it. Simply put, I'm being belligerent now and petty too. Every time you say it, at 2 more weeks, that's all. And another one. Keep going. I won't watch Toxic Avenger until 2035. You keep it up. That's my threat to you. I won't watch a movie.
Yeah, I won't watch this
movie that apparently is pretty good.
Hour and 47 minutes or whatever it is.
But I would rather spite you than allow you to browbeat me into watching that movie. We'll go to break with that. Thank you. Thank you for the call, Eric. Anyone else want to browbeat me into watching something? You can try it. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, we'll get to some Casario sound because he joined Kay Adams. He's doing the tour. He talked with Pat McAfee earlier in the week. Talks to Kay Adams today about signing Aziz Austriere. So we'll get to that. But back to the Rockets. A couple funny things happened in the game involving Alperen Şengün. The one you noticed is the one where, well, some people noticed, and it got clipped and went viral. After LeBron draws a foul out on the perimeter, he was trying to get the three free throws. He only got the two because the Rockets were in the penalty. I guess Alpi said soft-ass call. And LeBron took offense. He goes, everyone but you can say that. You can go down your entire roster and they can say it. You can't say soft ass call. There's a giant disrespect for Alpi coming from the Lakers. Luka, we know, was waving off any move he made. He has done that a couple times watching Alpi try to go to work. And now LeBron is saying, I don't care who's on your roster. Dorian Finney-Smith can do it. Aaron Holiday can do it. Hey, is JD Davidson down there? Yeah, he can say it too. Yeah. You, the two-time All-Star, I don't want to hear soft-ass call from you. There's a lack of respect. That's fine. That was one thing that people noticed. The one I noticed, it was in the second half. Alpi gets a rebound, and he's bringing it up the court, and he does the, while he's dribbling, he does the everyone calm down signal. Relax.
Like palms down.
Relax, everybody. Maybe it's as he's about to put the ball down. Everyone relax. And he promptly throws the ball out of bounds on the turnover. I was like, he throws it to Amen Thompson way behind him. Ball goes out of bounds. Like, yep, that's the experience we're dealing with here.
Rockets basketball.
Yeah, at its best, where you got a rebound. He's taking on a bigger leadership role because there is no Kevin Durant on the floor, and he's embracing it. We've heard the stories consistently now this week about his being able to develop speaking English and how that's led to him being more vocal and wanting to be a team leader. And he's trying to take on that role. Hey, relax, guys. You still got it. Out of bounds. Immediately.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like, oh, yeah, there's no Fred VanVleet. Like, so your center has to be the one that's like, A, bringing the ball off the court, B, initiating the offense.
And much like Jabari in the Game 3 disaster, if he just simply dribbles the ball up the court, there's no pressure on him. He doesn't have to try to make the pass to Amen again, by the way. Amen, hey, just be ready.
Apparently you're Calvin Johnson to these guys.
Yeah, F it, he's down there somewhere.
Apparently,
when someone gets a rebound and, hey, calm down, but I don't want this ball in my hands anymore. I'm going to take it, and it wound up out of bounds. So I noticed those things yesterday.
I will say I noticed the LeBron saying, you can't say that. You're the only one on the court who can't say that to Alperen Şengün. And for a split second, I was like, oh, no, we're going to have a big controversy on our hands. And then I was like, wait, Reed Sheppard, Luke Kennard, Austin Reeves are all on the court.
You thought Alpi had
just for a split second
had crossed the line.
I don't. That's not a repudiation of his character in any way. It's just when that happens, I'm like, when you're the only guy who can't say that on the basketball court.
I mean,
I'm like,
LeBron's like, I will allow Luke Kennard to say it, but you.
You?
Not you. Yeah, he does have a moment from earlier in the year where he crossed the line with the female official.
That's what I'm saying. And so, but not what it was about. Yeah, it was about saying soft-ass call.
Yeah, so if you don't remember, Alpi dropped the B word on a female official. It was so offensive. Were they playing the Pelicans?
Too.
Who are they playing? The Spurs? I forgot who they were playing. It was so
Pelicans sounds right.
It was so egregious that the Pelicans bench was like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" So I don't know if it
Boston.
Was the Pelicans.
It was Boston.
It was the Celtics.
They're getting smoked by the Celtics.
And he called her effing. And even the Celtics bench,
they like pointed.
Hey, buddy, come on. What are you doing?
I think it was like Jalen Brown. It was someone specifically.
I gotta find out the team.
Whoa.
He did have a moment, but it was not. It wasn't.
No.
What your first assumption was.
Just not assumption, just concern.
Considering the response.
Yeah, just like putting the puzzle pieces together. I was like, oh no.
You're the only
I don't want to have to talk about this for 90 minutes tomorrow.
The thing is, if he says you're the only one who can't say it, because he goes your entire roster, LeBron knows Reed Sheppard exists. So it couldn't have been that, but I get what you're saying.
Just, again, split second. That's what I was thinking.
I gotcha. Let's get to Nick Caserio.
Please. He can say whatever he wants.
Not according to our caller, Jim. We called him a liar a couple days ago.
He can lie.
He's allowed to. That's part of the job as a GM. Well, I don't think he was lying when he joined Kay Adams. So, Aziz, we talked about earlier, got a big deal. We don't know the official numbers. We just know that it's reported to be 3 years, $54 million. It has him in line to be the third highest paid linebacker, off-ball linebacker in all of football, behind Roquan and Fred Warner's at the top. So, that's good company to be in, whether you think Aziz is that type of player or not. Here's Nick Caserio with Kay Adams on why they gave Aziz that deal.
Aziz Al-Shaair, 3-year deal, a game breaker, an attitude coming into that locker room. I love it. The Cowboys, they were allegedly trying to pry him away. Why was it so important to keep Aziz as an anchor in the middle of your defense?
Yeah, since Aziz has been here, he's had a significant impact on the program, both on and off the field. I'd say his toughness, his leadership, his playing style, his relationship with D'Amico goes back a number of years. And, you know, since he's been a part of our program, he's meant a lot to a lot of different people. For him to be recognized last year as well as the Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient, at least from the Texan standpoint, speaks to his involvement in the community and his willingness to continuously give back. His story is really unique, what he's had to endure to get to this point. So anytime you have an opportunity to reward a player of his caliber with something like that, I mean, he wanted to be here, hopefully for the duration of his career. So it was something that we were able to reach an agreement on. So he deserves all the credit for who he is as a player, who he is as a person, and hopefully he can continue to play good football for our program and make an impact on the community for as long as he's here.
So you hear the conversation goes beyond football with Aziz Al-Shaair, which I don't know that you always hear that in terms of the deal getting done. Yeah, of course, they always compliment a guy, particularly if he's a leader, but it was a prominent part of the answer for Nick Caserio discussing Aziz Al-Shaair's importance to the community. So all in all, has been a great signing for the Texans, and now you hear about the impact he has off the field as well. So it feels like one of those deals that they were more than happy to do to secure one of the foundational pieces of their defense. And sticking with their defense, you think about them right now and you go, are there any real holes? And real is doing a lot of work here, because I would say no. You might like a better linebacker than Henry Toto, but you're not going to have superstars everywhere. He's a fine linebacker on average when you start to think about all the stars every place else. There is one spot, we talked about it this morning, and even CBS Sports has a thought about it. Biggest need for every team after the draft and certainly free agency. What would you think it would be, Sean, if you could think about the defense specifically?
On the defense, yeah. On the Texans defense. Would it be like corner depth? Would it be like...
It is a depth piece, but it isn't corner.
Oh, okay. Edge?
Yes. You start to think about their edge players, yeah, beyond Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. It doesn't really rise to the level of the Nico Autry and Derek Barnett anymore. It's not those guys.
It's one of the guys they traded for, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And another I think they might have signed in the second or third phase of free agency.
Yeah.
So when you start to think of who they have behind their two stars, it's Dylan Horton, who's been around for a while now, Logan Hall, who they brought in from Tampa, and Logan Hall will maybe play more defensive tackle, but Dominique Robinson is the guy. Xavier Thomas, who is from San Francisco. It's not a lot of juice or at least production, yeah, behind him. It doesn't rise to the level of Danico Autry was a double-digit sack guy.
Derek Barnett's
was a player for the Eagles. Yeah. We're not there yet. If we do get there, if we even get there, because you're giving Azeez Ashier what you're giving him. Now that kicks in next year, but you've got big deals on the books certainly already. Will Anderson's another one that kicks in next year, but Derek Stingley, big money. You have, of course, Danielle Hunter, one of the guys we talked about in our love language segment. He's getting big money, and they've handed out contracts to the offensive linemen this offseason. So it's going to have to come from somewhere as far as cuts are concerned. And right now, if we had to pick at the defensive unit and saying this particular position group can't sustain an injury,
yeah,
beyond corner, I would point at defensive end. And I discussed it yesterday. The Texans defense, particularly their stars, were remarkably healthy last year. Sean, guess how many games, when you start to think about the unit as a whole, think of the star players, mm-hmm, and their importance. Think combined games missed from their best players.
Is it something? Because I honestly can't think of like anyone that missed like an extended. And when I say extended, I mean like three games. So I'll just go like as a unit. I'm just taking it as Anderson, Hunter, Lassiter, Stingley.
Azeez. Throw on all their best players. Bullock, all of them. The ones you think are either future Pro Bowlers or current Pro Bowlers, maybe an all-pro.
Petrie miss a game? I'll just go like they missed five games. Five. Final answer.
Five games is your final answer. You know what? I forgot to include Petrie in my initial conversations about it. It's actually dead on. I forgot about Petrie when I was talking about
it. He missed one or two.
He missed three last year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Petrie in the mix. Yes.
Yeah. Lassiter missed one.
Azeez, yeah, missed one. Petrie missed three.
Okay.
A combined five games from your best
11
players.
Starters.
Yes. From your, not your 11 starters, your best players.
Oh, okay. Like the
guys who are cornerstones.
Six or so cornerstones.
The guys, as I said, could make a Pro Bowl, could be an All, yeah, Pro, those
that's
types.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Five total games. So they were remarkably.
Yeah. And Stingley, a guy who
played through injury. It felt like he got hurt. Like,
oh, yeah. He had
the Rams,
oblique, right? Yeah.
And didn't miss a game. Now, he got pulled out of that first Jags game because of the injury. But as far as beginning games, five games total missed. Oof.
Also, you brought up the Jags game. Remember Chauncey Gardner Johnson?
I do.
He used to be on the team. I forgot that. Until you said the Jags game. That's what my head goes to with the Jags game.
It is the final. He gave up a big slant because he was out of position, or maybe it was a dig route to Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
In the next game, he wasn't a Texan anymore.
Yeah, but so they missed like, 17 games.
Sure.
Because he missed 12 of them. No. Yeah, that it is a remarkable thing. And that's one of the things where it's kind of like a common, you know, where saying, I guess, cliche that in the offseason you see it, in preseason you see it brought up a bunch, where it's like the a team's offensive production year to year is tends to be more like steady with the personnel, where the defensive production, like even with the same personnel,
more volatile,
is more volatile. And I think a lot of that is injuries, just because, you know, when a quarterback's out, like everyone knows, or when a skill position guy's out, like we all have to change our fantasy teams. But when, you know, if Kamari Laster misses a game here or there, that greatly affects the Texans defense.
You saw it with Tamon Smith in there.
Yeah, you just, as a, you know, Joe Casual fan, you like just don't think about it. So, yeah, it's something where, I mean, they're not going to get better luck than that. I guess Petrie could miss less time. But, yeah, that is something where they need to – that's why you always need to improve. That's why, like, getting McDonald, I think, in the second round is big for him. Cause, like,
signing Reed Blankenship as
Signing Reed Blankenship again. So, yeah, you need to improve this part of your team that is good, because you could have some fall off, whether that is, you know, whatever, Danielle Hunter, Father Time, and now you have to dip into the edge rotation or whatever, injuries anywhere. It's like you just need to, you know, strengthen your strength a little bit just to give yourself a better chance to withstand those kind of, you know, injuries, regression, whatever it is.
Now, this story mentions a name, and I would not be surprised if the Texans add a veteran pass rusher, considering what we laid out as far as the guys who are behind their starters. Like Leonard Floyd, that's a name. Ooh. He's forever a guy who winds up signing a one-year deal with the team. He's done it the last three seasons with Buffalo, San Francisco, and Atlanta. The production, here and there, 10.5 with the Buffalo Bills in 23 at 31 years old, had 8.5 with the 49ers at 24 at 32, and then only had 3.5 last year. But he's healthy. He plays all the time. Yeah. So he would be a guy you can look at. You know, Dante Fowler's out there, the name that is floated, not with the Texans, but it's something he always does, Jadeveon Clowney. So there are veteran pass rushers just waiting to show up in the middle of camp. So I would not be surprised if the Texans make a move there.
Does Von Miller have a team?
The human, hey, we think we can win a title signing. Where is he?
No.
Nope. Von Miller
continues to campaign for a return
to the
Broncos.
He would like to play for the Broncos.
Hey,
so
come on.
What?
Oh, play Texans? For the Texans.
Yeah, Texas. Right, Texas. On. Texas team. Vaughn, what's up?
Bo Nix? All right. Okay.
Well.
His bow-legged ankle now? That had to have been a Photoshop picture, right?
I would have to look. I would imagine.
There's a picture where it looks ridiculous.
I would imagine it is. But to the point of quarterbacks and who you should join, the Texans don't have firm ground to stand on after the last couple games.
Hey, at least our guy's healthy. Biggest game of the season. Could keep them out.
Well, you know what people said. If they just took a knee.
I know. They
would have won that Patriots game.
And me and Ryan Clark during the halftime show of that Patriots game vehemently disagree.
I don't think you were that vehement.
No. But when I'm making the case to Von Miller right now.
Yeah. You heard vehemently. What Ryan Clark said.
Yeah.
Come on. I know it didn't work out in the second half, but still. Yeah, you heard what he said. Vaughn's like, no, actually, I went to go get some meat at halftime. I was disgusted by the quarterback play. All right, we'll go to break. And if you don't like Duke, they're one of the teams you are disgusted by, and maybe Notre Dame fits the mold as well. I'm speaking specifically about myself here now. Now they're more alike than you think, if you didn't think that already. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
I usually associate this with football, what we're about to talk about. Like you hear the Chick-fil-A game before the bulk of the season begins. You'll have an SEC team like Alabama play Duke at or USC. We know about these games that both teams get millions of dollars to show up for a game, and it's sponsored by whoever. Well, that happens in college basketball, too. It's the reason why you have all these marquee matchups for the teams who are considered the blue bloods or powerhouses. Why is Duke playing Kentucky in MSG for a preseason tournament? Not preseason, but for a matchup. It's because ESPN, whoever is carrying the game, paid both schools to show up. That happens. Well, Amazon and Duke are in a partnership where they're going to have 3 games per year that are exclusive to Amazon as part of their package with Duke. So it'll be neutral site games. So you'll, for example, this year, Duke has scheduled a game against UConn in Las Vegas, a game against Michigan, the champion, at MSG, and a game against Gonzaga in Detroit. And it's Amazon's package. And when I made the reference to Notre Dame, that's why. Notre Dame, for the better part of all our lives at this point, I guess it depends on how old you are, but for the most part, if you're 40 or younger, you have seen Notre Dame on NBC all your life at this point. They've been with NBC a very long time. And Duke is trying to, now you can't get all your games there, all your home games like Notre Dame does, because of your commitments to ESPN and your conference. Duke has a conference they have commitments to, but they're starting to get there where, hey, 3 big games a year right here on Amazon, no matter what. We will work with ESPN to commit to them because we love our partnership with them. But this Amazon thing we want to foster, and that includes NIL deals for their players. But it is going that route where we may be getting closer and closer to a college basketball program being known for, hey, Prime and Duke.
Yeah.
Hand in hand. And they're starting that process with 3 games, and they'll continue to do that, as Duke will always be a brand that draws eyes. And then you throw in Michigan and UConn and Gonzaga. You're going to get eyes on these games.
Yeah, yeah. And at least, like you mentioned, with Notre Dame's independent. So I think when they played Indiana at home in the playoff 2 years ago now, I think there's some crazy stat where, like, that's the first Notre Dame home game that wasn't broadcast on NBC because it was an ESPN game in like 40 or 50 years or something like that. And yeah, this could be the first step of Duke, at least non-conference wise, like, they could sell all their games to Amazon. Like, they'll get less money for when they play, you know, whatever.
Binghamton.
Yeah, NCAA or whatever. But they will, like, they can do that. And like you said, when you're with Prime, too, you can do the Notre Dame-style, you know, in-season hard knocks that Notre Dame does, where they, you know, have camera crews and make a documentary about how they're choosing to quit on the bowl game and spin that positively.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, a culture full of quitters. And they can have Marcus Freeman talk about
how quitting is fine.
Yeah, how that's fine.
We're
as a coach, too.
Player-driven program.
Yeah, but you can do that where, you know, you have that with these Duke teams that, as long as they're making this kind of money, I think when Coach K stepped down, you thought, oh, there might be, like, a drop-off because, you know, how can anyone fill those shoes? And for the most part, they're cruising right along. They're still star-laden teams, so, yeah, they could definitely do that or, you know, have a Wojo documentary. They could just keep doing this.
I'm going to pass on that. I'm just going to let you know.
I'm just saying they could happen.
I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm sure the 90s teams could get a doc.
Come on.
There's not enough being done about them. But I'm sure a Prime could do a 90s teams doc.
Yeah.
Even beyond the Hurleys, Jay Williams. There's plenty of content for Duke people to love. I just won't take part.
Josh McRoberts.
I mean, too far. Kyle Singler.
Who was the big guy that they had? It started with a Z. I forgot what it was. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. I just don't remember the
name. It's not Zubek or something, but it's something like that.
Might be Zubek. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But the ACC at one point was in real trouble. There was a thought that the football powers would leave. Florida State was trying to lead that charge, didn't get it done. Clemson was among that. Miami quietly, they stayed in the background just trying to figure out how it would go. They were a team who was considering leaving. If the ACC suffers a fracture where they're no longer a thing, could Duke pull the Notre Dame thing, become an independent, And have all could. And have all their home games on Prime, and then when they're on the road, ESPN and them can figure out some deal as well. Just to keep that partnership alive.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Duke, Brian Zubek Jr. could be an Amazon
there
exclusive.
It is. So Duke is one of those brands that could just be an independent and be exclusively one spot for their home games and just pull the Notre Dame thing. Notre Dame has been fine with it. I think Duke, in a lot of ways, in college basketball, is a reminder of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think, and this is always like a kind of a topic of like who in theory could go independent. At least in football, it's always a thing. And it's like less teams than you think. Basketball, it might just be Duke as far as like nationwide
appeal. The eyes for fans of them and haters of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even like the Notre Dame thing.
Even like UConn, like UConn's been just as good of a program, if not better, the last at least decade, 25 years maybe. And like even then, it's like there's not like a nationwide, rally for or against of.
Yeah, they're very. UConn. They're a national program because they win national titles and on TV all the time. But it feels like that's centered into the northeast portion of the United States as far as
maybe
their
fandom. Kentucky, but even then, like again, that's more like East Coast, Southeast kind of stuff. Like there, it is less teams than you think that could actually do it. And Duke basketball is one of them. Notre Dame football is like the other. And it's like maybe a handful of other teams or programs.
Yeah. So as college sports continues to change, Duke has found an avenue to I was going to say weaponize their brand, but that's aggressive. Just to
leverage their brand
is a better way of saying it. Thank you. And you will see some of their marquee matchups this year on Amazon if you happen to have that service. All right, we're done for the day. The Astros are in action. Middle of the second as they got started early against the Orioles because there's a doubleheader. It is Bassett on the mound for the O's and Peter Lambert on the mound for the Astros. And as it stands now, do an inning and a third of no-hit baseball. So Lambert continuing, not that I'm taking a no-hitter. I'm just speaking to the fact that his last start was really good.
Yeah.
And at least through the early portions of his start, he continues with that, having not walked anyone as well. So I think it's Lambert and McCullers today. Our heroes back with the 27 because one, Ryan Weiss is gone for paternity leave. His wife is on the verge of having a child. So
congratulations.
Some less than sensitive person said, hey, could this be a long paternity leave for Ryan Weiss just for the benefit of everyone who roots for the Astros? Just have a healthy, happy child, and we'll see you when you get back. But Jason Alexander available today, so we'll see if he gets in. Our hero. All right, we're done. Since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Never have, never will, sir. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.